Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5. Available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
There's a new study that shows a slight decrease in the prevalence of obesity among adults in the United States, but still, it remains much higher than just a decade ago. This according to some new federal data that is just out, newly released. Among adults who are age 20 and older, about 40% estimated to be obese. And this is according to the report released early this morning from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as well as the National Center for Health Statistics. So in this one, it's lower than 41.9%, so a little less than 2%. Not great, but at least we're going in the right direction here. Meantime, rates of severe obesity increased about 9.2% between 2017 and 2020. You think about those pandemic years for sure. But what does it mean? 100 million American adults suffer with obesity, and more than 20 million American adults have severe obesity. All these statistics from the CDC. So no word if wonder weight loss drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy have helped any in lowering those numbers that I just talked about. That brings us to a big hearing that is expected today on Capitol Hill, where Novo Nordisk CEO Lars Jorgensen will face scrutiny and questions on Capitol Hill. So senators on a health committee, they're calling this hearing to find out why the company charges Americans much more than any other nation in the world for these life-saving medications. The drug maker's prices for its popular weight loss and diabetes meds can cost Americans more than $1,000 a month when you compare that to other countries where patients pay less than $92 a month, sometimes on average about 50, 60 bucks a month. What's up with that? Well, that's what senators really want to know here, why. Now, we'll hear from the CEO and we'll hear what he has to say. Semaglutide, which is a drug in the GLP-1 class, it's marketed as Wegovy for weight loss and Ozempic for type 2 diabetes. And it truly shows that it is a wonder drug, helping those patients lose an average of 15% of their total body weight. It's a game changer. Now, as far as the company says, Novo, they say, look, we've spent billions just last year, $4.2 billion on diabetes and obesity research and development in 2023 alone. Here's where they're going with this, because Congress gets to say when we will all as Americans have access to the generic version of these drugs, and certainly that'll mean you'll pay much less. So we'll watch for that testimony. Let's talk about what's happening at the southern border, or as I call it, the southern crosswalk. Border Patrol agents warning that children as young as 8 are being drugged and smuggled into the United States by these traffickers, posing as their parents or family members. And nobody knows how common this practice is. It's just horrifying. So authorities rescuing children caught up in 2 different instances of such smuggling in recent weeks, including one where the alleged traffickers had actual birth certificates, authentic U.S. birth certificates, but for the wrong kids, for multiple children who they were not related to. So listen to this Border Patrol agent as she describes this in detail.
August 29th, 2024, at approximately 11:30 p.m., CBP officers assigned to the San Luis, Arizona Port of Entry encountered a 28-year-old female U.S. citizen driving a Nissan sedan who presented U.S. birth certificates for 2 sleeping children in her vehicle. The woman stated to CBP officers that the children were family members. Unable to awaken the children, the primary officer referred the traveler to secondary for further inspection. In secondary, the women had difficulty waking the children. Officers observed that the children remained extremely groggy. While interviewing the children, officers soon discovered there was no family relationship between the woman and the two minors, ages 11 and 8. The birth certificates, while legitimate, did not belong to the children. The minors were Mexican citizens and being smuggled into the United States. The children indicated to CBP officers that they were provided sleep aids in order to avoid detection. CBP officers detained the woman for alleged violation of U.S. law and seized the vehicle.
That was Executive Assistant Commissioner Diane Sabatino, who just announced that these CBP officers seized 120 pounds of this thing called blue fentanyl. When we think about the border crisis, not just human trafficking, but as well, what about all these fentanyl pills? They say that they've made just this month, think about this, just in the past month, more than a million fentanyl pills, millions of dollars worth of fentanyl powder, cocaine, meth. And you think about the crisis with an estimated 107,000 drug overdose deaths in the United States just last year. It's a true crisis. It should be in the headlines more. I wonder why it's not. We'll continue with what much more just ahead here on The Dawn Show. Thanks for being here.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
I want you to listen back in to an interview with April Aguirre as she was testifying about how this border crisis, the lack of control at our southern border, has impacted her lives and the lives of so many in the nation and in her community. Listen in.
We have to identify these monsters because, like my dad says, they're giving all of us good migrants such a bad name. We owe it to the migrants that are getting away from these communities, and we owe it to our citizens to offer them a safe society.
That is the voice of April Aguirre, who's a crime victims advocate, who testified, who was among those witnesses, testifying yesterday before the official House Judiciary Committee, holding that hearing yesterday into the, quote, Biden-Harris border crisis, and giving victim perspectives. And they are examining the effects, investigating, they say, the Biden-Harris administration's open border policies and the impact on American families as well as our communities here. So I'm honored to be joined this morning by April Aguirre, crime victims advocate. April, thank you so much for being here. You were great yesterday, as you did not back down, even in spite of, I think the truth is, there were Democrats there. There were members of Congress there who just wanted to silence you.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you so much for having me. It's just one thing. These families have gone through enough. And on my watch, I'm not going to put up with disrespect.
And so can you just give me a little bit of background on your story? How did you come to, represent crime victims like 11-year-old Maria, who you talked about, who was brutally ravaged, murdered, and raped before she was murdered, and with that little girl, the way that she died, it's horrendous to think about. How did you come to, be a voice for many victims like Maria, who cannot speak for herself, obviously? And this is the other frustration, I think, April, for you, is probably the lack of media coverage.
Right. So I came into this role because my own niece was murdered in a case of mistaken identity, an individual started shooting into my sister's vehicle, and he unloaded his whole clip. Unfortunately, one of those bullets struck and killed my niece when she was shot in the head. When we were pushed into this room, we lived a very quiet life. We didn't have any knowledge of the criminal justice system, and we were completely lost. And we realized that there was something missing there, that there was nobody there to bridge the gap between just an average everyday person, and now you are a victim, and you don't even know where the courthouse is. So we started fighting a personal battle, and while fighting this personal battle that has been very public here in Houston, Texas, and my niece's name is Arlene Alvarez, we started gaining momentum because so many families were going through the same things we were going through. And then families started reaching out, needing help and assistance. And we have a very soft spot for children. Obviously, we can't help everybody because we're just normal people. Nobody pays us for this, right? But we are helping everybody that we can because victims are the only ones that don't choose to be a part of the criminal justice system. And that's how I started representing families and helping them completely free of cost. In the last 2.5 years, we have raised about $400,000 to help with funeral expenses and to help with expenses in general. So grieving families don't have to worry about things like the rent and the light bill, which don't stop coming because you're in a crisis. So Maria Gonzalez's case resonated with me. I am from Pasadena, Texas myself, and I know that to be a safe community. And when I got a hold of her case, it's just a detrimental case. I cannot imagine what the last moments of life for Maria were like. Although she was also a migrant child, she attended American schools and she had been here for quite a few years and was accustomed to the American ways and felt safe in her home. There was no reason she should have perished.
I want to interrupt real quick because you told a story, April, to Congress yesterday of a message she received on WhatsApp from her father. That was the last thing. And I want you to retell that story if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, so her father had left. The predator lived within the apartment complex with him that had been in our country for under 3 weeks. He had already learned that her father worked to work and worked long hours. So he left early in the morning and came back later in the evening. But Maria, being 11 years old and having relatives within the same apartment complex, was safe, you know. She was cared for. And when her dad left, she fell back to sleep. And she heard knocking on her door, and they use WhatsApp because she doesn't have real cell service. They just operate off of Wi-Fi because a lot of people are like, well, why didn't she call her dad? Well, they don't have cell service. So on this WhatsApp message, it's kind of like a voice message on iPhone. And she left a voice message on iPhone for her dad saying, hey, are you knocking on my door? Someone's knocking on the door. Did you forget something? And that's the last time he ever heard from Maria. So at this point, Maria gets up and goes and looks out the peephole and see that it's a neighbor. And there's that little chain in the apartment doors that allow you to open the door and give you a sense of safety. Yes. It's like a tiny, tiny chain. Well, this guy, as soon as knowing Maria was alone, pushed his way into the apartment. I personally helped Mr. Gonzalez move out of that apartment. When I tell you this little girl fought for her life, the house was in disarray. You would have thought that 10 people fought in that apartment. That baby didn't want to die. And as much as her dad doesn't even speak English, he had her in martial arts classes. I mean, he was doing his best to give her the American life. She spoke English. Her father didn't. She was going to these after-school programs that her father was scraping up the money to put her in. I mean, he was really doing what all migrants, what I believe real good migrants want to do, just be good parents and give their kids a better life.
Yeah.
And this individual just saw her as prey.
Yeah, it's sick. And your statement that these individuals are wolves in sheep's cloth, that's exactly right.
They are. He came into this country and he said he was afraid. He made a statement to DHS and said he was afraid of the gang violence in his country, but he was not afraid to take the life of a little girl.
And so, you know, I want to ask you, April, I'm so sorry for the loss of your 9-year-old niece, Arlene Alvarez. But there's not a ton of coverage, but I did see that Arlene's parents, Gwen and Armando, that they had spoken out after a grand jury there in Harris County, Texas, had declined to indict the man accused of killing your niece. Can you update us on the latest with that man? So he, I don't even understand, I can't even wrap my brain around your grief, but also the fact that it does not appear that there's justice in this case.
No, there's not. And so this is, we live in a city in a where it's very liberal. The sympathy is completely all for the criminals. And I want you to know that I always say that I'm ashamed that I put myself, I myself put a lot of these people in office just because of being unaware of what we were voting for. And this is why we preach the importance of knowing who you're putting in office and what their core qualities are. I want you to know that we as a family have worked diligently. We had to hire our own team to recreate the crime scene. We presented new evidence to a board, and they were compelled, legally bound, to reopen our case. So now he has been charged with murder, and we're awaiting trial.
Good for you, but that's terrible that you had to do that. When you watch, did you watch last night's debate? And
yes, ma'am.
What did you think about it as far as, you know, President Trump talking about securing our borders, talking about really talking about what you've been talking about, that we need to make our country safe for everybody?
It's not a secret that I support Donald Trump, and I'm going to tell you why. We spend millions and billions of dollars securing the Ukraine border, but we don't secure our borders. We have the money to do it somewhere else, but we won't secure our borders. I ask people not to hear these promises, but to look at what that administration has done, because they have blood on their hands. And the American public is not dumb. If she wanted to end that war in Ukraine, she would. And that would return more money to our country so that we can use it for Americans.
Yes.
And if she wanted to close that border today, she would. She has the ability to. The administration has the ability to. If she wanted to lower the price on groceries, she would. But she doesn't.
April, in a moment, I want you to tell us about how we can support you and support your advocacy. But I also want to ask you, as far as those listening in that are part of sanctuary cities across the country. So in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where I'm broadcasting from, we're a sanctuary city. So I have to go through great lengths to find sources who I don't name, who are trusted sources who can, for example, in Philadelphia, Chester County, and the color, the suburban counties, and this is really across the country, you know this well, but because they're sanctuary municipalities, the police officers get in trouble if they put in their report that an individual, that an offender or a criminal or an accused criminal is actually not here legally. What do you say about these sanctuary policies?
The sanctuary policies are troubling, and what they actually do is they create an environment for predators to thrive. So you have a situation where officers pull people over and can do nothing. And if they can't ask them their status, meaning that at no point anybody ever vets these individuals. They cross the border already unvetted, and if they run into any type of criminal situation here in the United States, they also can't be questioned about their criminal past, meaning that nobody ever dives into their criminal path to know what we're dealing with. So a lot of the time you're dealing with gang members, you're dealing with serial sexual predators or murderers in their own country, and officers here don't even know it.
I know Dan Borowski had another question, our executive producer.
Yeah, April. So you gave out your number, a very brave move on national television, and it was broadcast. And you clearly said, you know, you've heard from Republicans, but not from Democrats. And I'm curious, after giving your number to Democrats, have you heard from anybody since?
You know, that particular Democrat that belittled crime victims, team did reach out, and they're like, how can we help? And I gave them homework. And I said, you need to determine what were the failures here, and here's my email, report back. They need to understand that these families were failed miserably, right? Now, I want you to know that that particular congresswoman, her husband is an immigration attorney. So it's really interesting dynamics that she probably gets a lot of kickback from being able to represent migrants. Her husband, it's like a revolving door for them of money. So I see her interest in wanting to keep the border open financially for her and her family on a personal basis. But that's the only one. My number's out there. My number's already very public just because of the work that I do. I'm always available via phone, text and email. Everything's there on my Twitter. And even if it's just a little piece of advice, I try to help as many people as I can, because nobody's out there to do this. We have so many programs here within my own city that are there to help criminals and help them navigate the criminal justice system.
Yeah.
They even have legal assistance to these individuals, but there's nothing really there for victims.
And which, you know, I do want to get information from you, and I think we all want to know, how can we support you? Do you also have a nonprofit? You know, what? Tell us a little bit more about your advocacy.
So we're getting everything set up legally to set up a nonprofit, and we'll be launching a website here in the next month. I was a little taken aback at the interest of the foundation, which I hope grows and that we can gain more volunteers, because right now I'm a one-woman team. And so we're growing. I never thought it was going to get this big. I usually just represent people here within my own city and community, but there's so much need that we're going to broaden, and everything will be put on my Twitter. It's April Aguirre, Texas with double R. And we hope that we can help people nationally, again, even if it's just by giving them wholesome advice.
And, you know, yesterday, just the dynamic, April, when you were there, because obviously you were there with Patty Morin, the mother of Rachel Morin, who's a victim, you know, other victims from across the country. I would love to know more about your interaction with the lawmakers who called you, and then as well coordinating with other, you know, family members who are like you. Their loved one was murdered by somebody who came here illegally, and they are a predator.
Right. So it was Jim Jordan, the chairman, Jim Jordan's team, that reached out, because they were actually doing some work on determining the failures of the border on how these murders happened, because Maria Gonzalez's case got kind of large, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it did gain national attention. And that's how they got a hold of me, because they saw that I was the media contact for the family. And mind you, I'll have you know that Mr. Gonzalez does not speak English. So this is the importance of being able to give these people a voice, right? So we come here and we bridge that gap, and on their behalf, give adequate representation for Maria and other victims alike. But I just want you to know that it's these families are paying the price every single day. Anytime they sit down to have a bite to eat in their home, there is an empty chair on the table. Loss is forever. It's not just in that moment. All these politicians go back to the safety of their homes and, you know, gated communities and fancy cars. They don't even ride up the same elevator as regular folks. So that's my frustration with them. They don't have to deal with the consequences of an open border. They don't have to deal with the consequences of living in a sanctuary city, because the people that they have there are not within their safe communities. They're in the communities of low income and middle class families.
April Aguirre, I hope that once you get everything set up, because we want to know more about you, your what you're doing and organizing here. It's first of all, you're just an amazing woman, and we want to be supportive of you. So I hope that you keep in touch when you get it all. Like you're saying, the website, I want to put that out there immediately. Hope you come back. But April Aguirre, thank you so much. You are a bright light in this world. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I hope that I can encourage victims to keep on fighting. And if they're not reaching out to you, you reach out to them, because the more that they hear from victim stories, the less they can continue with this false narrative.
April Aguirre, thank you so much. So brave and fight, fight, fight. Love her message. Hey, thanks for being here this morning. We're going to be right back with much more right here on The Dawn Show.
President, ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Biden's final UN address that I referenced at the top of the hour. Because after all, there's a little bit of thinking that this is his last major, one of his last major speeches, and certainly on the world stage as he's speaking before the United Nations, addressing them, and certainly concerned about his legacy, as well as the world in turmoil. You know, before we jump into that, I do want to get into the story of these leaked documents. We're learning more about this, and I had reported this to you, what was that, a week ago? It's an unbelievable story in so many respects that it's not making bigger headlines. Isn't it a big deal that the campaign of a current candidate, the GOP choice, Donald J. Trump, was leaked? But this is also a former president of the United States of America who has had two assassination attempts. And we'll talk more about that as well. There's so much breaking and developing. But in this one, the word is that hackers reportedly did hack into former President Donald J. Trump's campaign systems. And that was through just a week ago. So until about a week ago, they were hacking in there. And then the evidence is suggesting, according to this report, that the breach may still be ongoing. Nothing to see here.
Seriously?
Can you believe that?
Oh, my gosh. That's nuts.
So
that's nuts.
This is, I'll give you the sourcing on it, although the Trump campaign, at least in part, has confirmed some of this. And this is Judd Legum, or Legum, I apologize. I don't know if that's not the proper pronunciation, but he's a journalist. And he detailed this in his popular information newsletter just today, saying this. Now, we know that the Iranians, especially the Iranian government, you hear Trump talk about this all the time, that Iran hates him. Why? Look at the trail going back to the money. What does Trump say? He talks all the time about going to leaders of places like China and saying, Russia, don't do business with Iran. You get oil from them, we cut you off, that's it. And so what Trump did, the way that he dealt with this and the way he think about it, he's a business guy. What does he think about? The money, the business. So what he was able to do on the world stage was to cut off Iran financially. And then he talks about how much they've grown, how many hundreds of billions of dollars Iran has made under the Biden-Harris administration. So it's all about the money and following the money trail. Who hates Trump? Who has a motivation to stop him from becoming president again? And why? It's not just the fact that Trump ended terrorism. As he said, he ended it. You never heard about it. You never heard about those poor refugees and what are we going to do about the refugees in the Middle East? What are we going to do about the terrorists? You just, boom, it ended. Remember that? And then they're like, oh, yeah, what happened to all that terrorism in the Middle East? You never heard about it.
Yeah.
Under Trump. He just ended it. So it's not just about Soleimani. It's not just about one kill that was, you know, reportedly that happened under Trump. It's not just that. It's the money. That's what Iran, that's their motivation. If you want to always look to motive, whether you're in law enforcement, you look at the local motive on a local situation, a local crime, or on a world stage, the motive is biggity big money. As I say, biggity big, hundreds of millions of dollars in profits, because Iran knows that the moment that Trump gets in there, first of all, he is loyal to our great ally in that region, Israel, and he's going to side with Israel, whether you like that or not, number one. But number two, he's going to cut off Iran financially, and they don't want that. That's really the bottom line. So as far as this, the FBI, remember I reported to you last week that the FBI confirmed those hackers believed to be linked to the Iranian regime, yes, had broken into the Trump campaign systems. And that was back on August 12th, then targeted sensitive documents from Trump's campaign. But then there was the story, and this doesn't get much play, that they had leaked them to the Biden slash Harris camp, but that those folks, didn't report it. And that to the proper authorities until much later. And so that's another question here. When did they know? What did they know? I'm not saying they're behind the hack. I'm not alleging that. But I'm saying, geez, Louise, if you have some hackers who give you that information within a campaign, you would think that you would immediately report that, that you wouldn't want to have your hot little hands on that one. So we'll go through all of this. But We have, well, we'll talk about more about this. We'll get into the Biden issue. He has just, you know, addressed the United Nations. What did he say? What is he trying to cover? The ramifications for that. Great interview coming up at 11. Thanks for being here. Zooming out, looking at the big picture of Joe Biden as he wants history to look upon him favorably. I wonder if that'll happen. But Dan had grabbed a couple of different clips of President Biden speaking.
Yeah, so first off, Dawn, earlier, just last segment, you were talking about these new leaks and Iran's potential role in them and how Trump essentially had the Middle East under control and things exploded under Biden, and he had that botched Afghanistan withdrawal that we all realize was botched. I mean, there's no doubt that that was a terrible withdrawal, right?
Yeah.
And really, the Trump administration was doing such a better job, but here's Biden in front of the UN taking credit for getting the Middle East under control. Take a listen.
We need to end the era of war that began on 9/11. As Vice President to President Obama, he asked me to work to wind down the military operations in Iraq, and we did, painful as it was. When I came to office as President, Afghanistan had replaced Vietnam as America's longest war. I was determined to end it, and I did. It was a hard decision, but the right decision. Four American presidents had faced that decision, but I was determined not to leave it to the fifth. It was a decision accompanied by tragedy. 13 brave Americans lost their lives, along with hundreds of Afghans in a suicide bomb. I think those lost lives, I think of them every day. I think of all the 2,461 U.S. military deaths over a long 20 years of that war. 20,744 American servicemen wounded in action. I think of their service, their sacrifice, and their heroism. I know other countries lost their own men and women fighting alongside us. We honor their sacrifices as well.
Wanted to include that just to be fair at the end there, but definitely botched that withdrawal, no, Dawn?
Yeah, and you think about recently as you know, we were commemorating Abbey Gate, the 13, and that's the 13 that day, but you think about all the equipment left behind and those killed. The White House, to their credit, for the first time, did release a beautifully written statement that was, you know, online if you wanted to see it. But many of those Gold Star families had even recently in August talked about it, how they felt snubbed by this administration that couldn't be bothered. And then they tried to create that phony, weird controversy that was not a controversy about Trump actually being invited by Gold Star families and attending that wreath laying ceremony, and then they tried to concoct something so that the headlines would be filled with, oh, well, Trump did wrong. No, he didn't. He was invited there. It was respectful. His campaign did nothing wrong. And look back at it. Why aren't they talking about it anymore? Because they know they concocted a controversy and everybody fell for it, which is a shame. I will point out to you that there are, you know, UN, some experts speaking out this morning, pointing to the concern that during this very meeting, the United Nations, what they say, quote, skirting the threats of today by holding this meeting, which is focused on ambiguous concerns of tomorrow. And so what are they talking about, like climate change and other issues? When you have all of these wars brewing, when you still have issues in the Middle East, which we all know, and we're coming up on October 7th, as I referenced earlier in the 10 o'clock hour, but you think about this, the Middle East, it's a hot mess and just bubbling over with now what's
as
going on.
As we look ahead, we must also address the rise of violence against innocent Palestinians on the West Bank and set the conditions for a better future, including a two-state solution where the world, where Israel enjoys security and peace and full recognition and normalized relations with all its neighbors, where Palestinians live in security, dignity, and self-determination in a state of their own.
And so referencing Palestinians, I told you earlier that Benjamin Netanyahu, Israeli Prime Minister, he will be speaking Thursday afternoon. I believe Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will speak today. He'll get two chances to speak, sort of the Biden darling. So he'll get two chances. But you think about this, as we have Israel's fight against Iran-backed Hamas and Hezbollah, the gang takeover of Haiti. You know, so often you'll hear the media talking about Haitian immigrants coming to this country And many of them, because they're fleeing a violent, war-torn, which Haiti, if you've been, I've never been there, but I have a close friend that as a child, she went to Haiti because her dad was in the hotel business. And what a beautiful place it is. I mean, nobody would want to leave Haiti in beautiful times, right? In peaceful times, because it's such a beautiful island nation. And yet they've had gang takeovers now. We have civil wars in Sudan and Myanmar. And you think about the violence around the world, not just Ukraine, Russia, not just the Middle East, but it's a hot mess under the Biden-Harris administration. So while the media will focus on some of the more salacious headlines as far as in Ohio or here in Pennsylvania with regard to the immigrants, they never talk about why people are even fleeing these beautiful places in the world to come here and leave their homeland. They would much rather be home. And that was something that struck me during, you know, when Trump won. That was his whole thing in 2016 that Trump said many times. These are beautiful places. The Middle East, by the way, I have my sister-in-law, Kathleen, and her husband, Bill Logan. You know, they spent their honeymoon in the Middle East. You don't even think about that now. But it was known as a beautiful, and it is a beautiful place geographically, but marred by this violence, by these thugs who take some of the most beautiful places in the world and then turn them into terrorist-run places. And so for Biden to try to go back to 9/11 and then try to take credit for this, that is outrageous, outrageous. Trump certainly was the one who said we're going to end the longest war, we're going to end Afghanistan, but he's also the one who made it clear that if in any way the terrorists did any nonsense, the deal was off. So the deal was set, and with Biden-Harris, they didn't care. They didn't care about the deal. They just, it was botched. We know that from the testimony. How many times have we played that testimony, Dan? You know, it's just, we know from our military leaders, it was a disaster, and they warned Biden. That's the worst part of this.
And then also, before we head to break and our great guest, I want to play back, he addressed, I don't know if this is the first time he's directly addressed whether or not he was told to step down or if it was his choice or what it was, but he did say this in front of the United Nations.
This summer, I faced a decision whether to seek a second term as president. It was a difficult decision. Being president has been the honor of my life. There's so much more I want to get done. As much as I love the job, I love my country more. I decided after 50 years of public service, it's time for a new generation of leadership to take my nation forward. My fellow
leaders,
new
generation.
Let us never forget, some things are more important than staying in power. It's your people.
Isn't it interesting that somebody who has been a career politician for more than half a century, if you count his early days in local politics, it's going on 60 years. So I don't know how you feel about that, but for somebody to say, well, there are more important things, and you've been a career politician for a lifetime, literally a lifetime, nearly 60 years, I think it's a bit of a disingenuous statement. I'm just saying. And I don't think I don't believe that this was his idea. Do you? 855-839-1210. Look, we have a great guest around the corner. This is something I complain about all the time. Appliances. My husband, Larry, will say, I want the Trump dishwasher or the Trump wash machine. And what do I mean by that? Well, you know, I'm teasing a little bit, but I just want appliances that don't take 3 hours to run and then they still don't work right. And then you rerun the thing. So we're going to tell you why it's getting worse, not better. New regulations taking place. We'll have a great expert up ahead. More local issues. And why were they calling the local car meetup here in Philadelphia Project X? And the insinuation that this has become political. So we'll talk about that as well. It seems like Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we're always in the national crosshairs, especially lately. Hey, I appreciate you being here. Dawn Stensland here, along with Big Dan, producer Dan Borowski. We will be right back.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.